Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is always brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We are always buying and selling gold and silver, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, coins, collections. We wealth and capital preservation specialists is what we consider ourselves, precious metals portfolio experts. We offer the highest rated privately held depository service in the Western region. We have a sister company, Clock Tower Jewelry, where we buy and sell diamonds. We offer diamonds in wholesale to the public. And, you know, we're not the full jewelry store that you're used to. We have just a little place, limited inventory, but we do a lot of stuff with catalogs, overnight shipping. We help you get good stuff. And by not inventorying a bunch of stuff, but offering a hugest selection imaginable, we can send you to websites or one in particular that we use, the largest wholesaler in the world. It happens to be in the United States. Jewelry's built in the U.S., built actually the way jewelry is supposed to be built, thick and heavy. I have a ring that I've worn with a very sizable diamond in it. I happen to have a large diamond because I'm in the business, 5.5 carats. But the ring itself I've had literally for 15 years, and it's the thickest, hardest chunk of gold you've ever seen, white gold with blue sapphires, and it just lasts. They build good products. We see stuff every single day falling apart for people. I'm not going to get on the jewelry thing, but I promise you, you go to the mall stores, the Zales, the Weisfields, the, you know, Shane Company, whatever. You go to all these places, you get what you pay for. It's a high, high markup industry. And there's just a lot of junk out there. And now the whole world's inundated with Chinese stuff because they build it cheaper. Every single thing, folks, in this world is built like crap. Excuse me, but built-in obsolescence started back in the 80s when I was studying statistics in college. I had a professor who was basically had some interesting jobs. He worked for I'm writing something down here. He worked for Ford when they were dealing with the Ford Pinto. Okay, you rear end a Ford Pinto, kaboom. They had him and a few other guys running all the statistical estimations of the cost of human life and payouts versus remachining the entire factory, changing the pinto, and coming out with a new product. They chose to let people die secretly, of course, under the radar, and pay out claims. So they thought, well, word got out, you know, the word got out about the Pinto. It was the largest settlement in the history of anything. And clear back then, Ford paid out, you know, $300 and some million. Of course, that was before $1 billion even existed. And, you know, bad karma. But he also worked for companies that would, Ford, where they would design parts to intentionally fail right outside a warranty. They used what's called a chi-squared curve. Everyone knows about a bell curve where, you know, it looks like a bell. And kind of like for death and mortality, the bell curve is actually not a good example of that. But the bell curve means the majority of people fall in the middle, and then as you taper down to the ends, it tapers off. You can kind of apply the bell curve towards mortality. However, it doesn't totally work because the average age in America of death is around 75 years old. People don't live another 75 years. Like, you know, people start dying at zero, basically. So that's, again, that's a chi-squared curve where it basically slopes up slowly, slowly, slowly. It gets a stronger peak and then it drops off heavily at the end. They would actually design parts and products this way on purpose. And that was just sort of the beginning of it. And then you had the Restoration Hardware store open up back in the 90s. And their concept was, we're going to sell you things built the way grandma and grandpa had them. You know, the old solid steel fan, My grandma had a fan at our cabin that had a fan blade that, I'm not kidding you, had to be a quarter inch thick of stainless steel. The grill on the front, stainless steel. The thing weighed a ton, you know, it was probably 5 pounds or 8 pounds. I don't know, probably 5 pounds, I suppose. I don't know. But the point is, it lasted 50 years. You plugged it in and it ran. Now they're plastic. They're trash. Now anything breaks, you know, they used to have repair stores for your iron and for your toaster because they were made out of steel. They were designed to last. You take it into the repair shop and bring it back home. Now you throw them in the garbage, okay? It's really pathetic. I use headphones with my iPhone, and I use these Power Beats, which are an absolute ripoff, but they're the only ones that work fairly well, except the new pair I got for Christmas that doesn't work at all, which is a real disappointment. But anyway, what I was getting at is the Power Beats 2s were built pretty well. The Power Beats 3s are trash. They are thinner, cheaper plastic. The wires worse, everything about them, and they cost more. And it's very disappointing, I guess, to deal with that is I just was so disappointed this weekend when I was looking at them. All the parts are just junk. They went and got them made cheaper so they can make a little more profit. They're, you know, even the microphone's worse, everything. And they're more money, and they're supposed to be the newer, hotter thing. And so what do they advertise about them? They're lighter. Oh, they're lighter because they use cheaper, junkier plastic. I mean, folks, this is the Walmart world. Welcome to the Walmart world. My nephew's studying a curriculum in college called Renewable Resources. It's a pretty new study, and basically what it's talking about is, you know, the world we live in, recycling, sort of the environmental approach, environmentalism in the form of Christianity. People really, the left really gives a bad name to the right because they act as if the right wants to pollute the earth and destroy everything. And really what it boils down to is as believers, we should be the best environmentalists of all. Okay. We really should. But at the same time, the difference between us and them being the left, I suppose, is that we don't worship the earth. I mean, we do not worship the earth. And so we worship the creator, not the creation. And that's the important thing. Is, you know, we want to be really good stewards. And it's, you know, there's so many verses or parables in the Bible where it says, you know, where it talks about, you know, the master who leaves. I mean, we've got the parable of talents and all that kind of stuff. But we've also got the story of the master that leaves the vineyard to the stewards. And the point of that story is the earth. God takes the earth and our care for it very seriously. It will all burn up. It's all going to be destroyed. I mean, factual, but it's just the fact that he gave us our domain, and we should be the number one environmentalist. The only reason that people that tend to destroy the earth, you know, the strip mining companies and stuff, acclimate towards or gravitate towards conservative political is because they're against government regulations. And there should be reasonable government regulations out there. There's no question about that. But at the same time, you know, there's got to be a reasonable level, but it does get overkill. Today, Trump gave a speech I'll touch on here soon. But, you know, we need that stuff. And so I just find it ironic that the left pins the right with everything bad. You know, you can't be an environmentalist. You can't be for the people. Trump cuts taxes for the people, for the working class. And in return, the left screams and hollers, you know, that it's for the rich. They lie, they twist, they confuse, they obfuscate, they absolutely twist it up so bad that it is just getting to the point of pure frustration. And then you get the situations like today. Trump gave a speech to farmers where he spoke to the Midwest, essentially, to some, I think it was the Farm Bureau meeting or something like that, and as if he'd never had before. No president ever had. And the thing is his tempo and his cadence is so frustrating. You know, here's a scripture. I was trying to look for some stuff. It talks about the son coming back. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he'll put him in charge of all of his possessions. But if the evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour which is not known, and will cut him into pieces, assign him a place with hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, that's a scripture that pertains a little bit to what we're talking about. It pertains to the fact that we've got a level of stewardship while he's gone, and we've got a responsibility when he returns. I mean, he's going to hold us accountable. There's other verses like this. Now, after a long time, this is the parable of talents. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Think of the contrast that's coming. Then the one slave who'd received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And I've talked about this in the past. Now we get the one. It's very ironic. Oftentimes people who get the 1 talent are the most talented. They're the prodigies. They are the Michael Jacksons of the world. They're given an incredible opportunity. I don't know if it's the fact that they have 1 talent that also amplifies that talent, because that's their area of primary focus. But these people, sadly, tend to blow it. Idiot savants, we call them oftentimes. I had an employee like that. I think people know that, you know, he literally had a photogenic memory. He was so talented and gifted in coins. He had the great 1 talent, incredible and great opportunity, but he let exactly what this says take him over, because it says, the one who also had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. Now, if you take the person who's, you know, I'm going to use the term idiot savant, because that's a term. If you don't know what that means, that usually means people that are autistic in a lot of ways, and they'll be just hyper talented in one or amplified area. Okay. Like I said, the musical proteges or incredible mathematicians. So what happens is they lack the cognitive ability to comprehend other areas that they're not talented in. And rather than accepting it and being thankful for what they're given, they apply their lack of knowledge to what they see. They apply their lack of knowledge and combine with their skill in one area. They think because they're highly skilled in one area that their opinion matters in all areas, and they start to look and say, I saw that you were a hard man. You reap where you don't sow and gather where you scatter no seed. Basically, they don't know what they're talking about, okay? They don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I used the example a minute ago of the guy who was the most incredible, you know, gifted coin guy who ended up stealing and ruining his career many years back. And he did not understand what it took to run the business. But he thought that he ran the business because he showed up each day and did his job. And he didn't understand that outside of his little circle of understanding was an awful lot going on. And it's the same with Michael Jackson. I've used that example. You know, there's all kinds of proteges like that that we've seen. Nikola Tesla, they say that he was a horrible businessman. He got taken advantage of by people, this kind of stuff, because they have an area of talent. And I believe if they turn themselves over to God with that talent, they turn that talent to God, God will put someone over them to protect them. And God most likely does put someone over them to protect them. But oftentimes that high level of intellect will falsely empower them and give them a false sense of self-confidence. We see this a lot in academia. They take somebody who is very skewed in their thinking. If you saw a bar chart of their overall skill ability, you would see nothing, nothing, nothing. You'd see one bar that shot to the moon like the Empire State Building, and the rest would go back down to zero. And yet academia will take these people and elevate them to the highest levels and make them think they really are something. Now, they are because they've been touched by God. They have special talents. And they need to understand with faith that God made us each the way he made us for a lot of reasons, you know. I mean, the world is a spicy place. There's so many different people. And we find ourselves so often condemning others that are different from us, frankly. And then people take advantage of that, and then we get identity politics. Right now, we've got identity politics going on so much, I can't even believe it. I heard a gal on the news the other night that was talking, a black gal that was talking and saying that basically the whites need to step aside and let the blacks take everything over, because the whites have benefited for 350 to 400 years, and now it's time for the blacks to basically get recompense, revenge, vengeance. And that is not the spirit of the Lord. The whites, the Caucasians, the Europeans, whatever you want to call them, they built a great nation, okay? I'll be candid with you. Slaves were a small portion of that. Apparently, of remaining American citizens, less than a fraction of a percent of those people even had relatives that owned slaves. Most of the immigrants in this nation have come here long after slavery was in effect. So trying to hold everybody accountable for it is just wrong. We are a nation of immigrants. We are not a nation of illegal immigrants. And this is where you get the stuff twisted and turned. Identity politics says we are treated a certain way based on a class of people that we are assigned to. Okay, if you're white, you know, that may be it. If you're Christian, that may be it. If you're Republican, that may be it. If you're male, that may be it. You know, if you're a police officer, that may be it. The problem is, there isn't just one category they put you in. They put you in categories. I'll simplify it. The reason for the categories is to express hatred, period. Okay, that's what identity politics is. It's to treat a person differently based on the group of people he comes from, or she. And this, folks, is social justice. This is taking a group of people that somebody perceives was oppressed and unfairly treated, and getting revenge for them, seeking, like I said earlier, recompense, to get even, to help them to be recompensated for something egregious that took place maybe hundreds of years ago. This is a terrible thing. This is the spray painting of Christopher Columbus statues. I remember back in the 90s when it was his 500th anniversary of quote, discovering America. And yeah, we all know America was discovered long before that, but that's when England claimed it, and so be it, even though there's errors in his maps and all that. We know all that. But back in the 90s, they started that Christopher Columbus was a homosexual trash. They started this with our founding fathers, for goodness sakes, all the way up through Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln says in his books, his journals, he shared a bed with a man. Well, that was a common situation. You had a bed, you had a limited amount of space, two guys slept in it, all right? It wasn't any of that, you know, hanky-panky, filthy trash that we're faced with today. People's general morality was on such a higher plane at the time, we can't even comprehend it. Now people are sickly, emotionally maimed and skewed from the media and the trash that gets spewed at us all day long. And it's twisted people's thinking in this country, sadly, to the point where they have sexual deviation on their brain. They're accessing, you know, all kinds of deviant pornography and, you know, just you name it. A lot of sick stuff. And the human mind perceives things based on its exposure. And frankly, they say that 2/3 of spouses who cheat on their spouse think their spouse is doing the same. And in most cases, it's not the case. It's a statistic I read a long time ago. People are always like, where do you get all your statistics? I've read and read and read for years, but I'll tell you, I'm a numbers guy. And when I read stuff, numbers work for me. That's why I have a hard time. I love articles that break things down into sections and numbers or lists. That's how my brain works. So I remember statistics from way back. It's just I have a Bachelor of Science in Math and Statistics, which is a pretty complicated degree. And I'm just a numbers and money guy. And so I remember statistics, but it said that like 66% of cheating spouses think their spouse is also cheating. In most cases, I don't remember what it was, but a very, very low percentage was it ever true, you know, maybe 3-8% at the most. But the fact of the matter is we perceive the world based on our own experience. So if we're seeing filth and junk all the time and thinking that way, then when we read things, we superimpose an improper perspective on what we're reading or seeing. And that thus, when they read by Abraham Lincoln, I shared my bed with another guy, they turn it instantly into sexual disgustingness. And the fact of the matter is, do you really think Abraham Lincoln would write that? If it was, I don't think so, and it wasn't. But, you know, and they've done this with our founders. You know, they were slave owners, and they were, you know, they take modernism, and they absolutely, you know, They apply today's standards on yesterday's culture. You cannot do that. For one, today's standards are twisted compared to yesterday's. But two, it's not the same perspective. Things change. We've come a long ways. Slavery is abolished. The slaves have been freed, okay? They are part of our society. Those that emancipated the slaves even created Liberia, which was a very well-funded project for the slaves to go to avoid a long-term contention with us. Now, that some people say, oh, that's horrible and blah, 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 but is it? I mean, at the time, that would have been a good option to, you know, prevent all of the contention and all the racial tension and all the racial rioting and race baiting that's going on today. It's so destructive for our country. I get heart sick for what's going on in this nation. I really do. It saddens and sickens me. The attacks on Donald Trump are sickening. They really are. He is who he is. You know, they mock and deride him and they really run him down. And I'll be frank, you know, there's things I'm not a big fan of, and there's things I would absolutely do different. There's things I'd love to do, but I'll tell you what, he's there and I'm not, and he's the president and I'm not. God chose him for a reason. His name is Trump, for goodness sakes. Trump is the final overriding factor or resource. The Trump in the Bible is your last chance. It's your last warning. It says, God's coming. The wrath is coming. Things are going down now. God is at work. And the guy's name is Trump. Sure, he may not speak the way we like. He may not be the most eloquent speaker, but let's be candid. Do we want Obama, Mr. Smoothie Pants, Mr. Slick Tongue, Mr. Twist and Lie, Deceiver that says one thing and tries to schmooze everybody up, creates terrible division, and then basically sells the soul of our nation to the devil? Or do we want a guy who may not be that smooth, who just absolutely has a job to do, who's proven his prowess in business many times over, who's been incredibly successful, and he found his way to the White House? The majority of people through the Electoral College voted him. All this rubbish about Hillary won the popular vote, folks, that is the most irrelevant argument. That is saying a different set of rules, okay? When you run a campaign for president, you don't run for the popular vote. You run for the electoral votes. This is why at the end, Trump spent all of his time in all these swing states, you know, like Wisconsin, and I don't remember the rest of them. But the fact of the matter is he knew why, because he understood the electoral system. So he beat them at the game that is set up in the rules that were created. After they lose based on the rules that were created, which, by the way, they were, you know, perfectly comfortable with beforehand, they complain about the popular vote. Well, the popular vote, luckily, is not what it's all about. If it was about the popular vote, we'd have about 8 major metropolises in this nation where our candidates would spend all of their time focused and concentrated on swinging those areas. The rest of America would be at a loss. The heavy metropolitan areas vote left. Why? Let's see. They're filled with welfare recipients. They're packed with immigrants and illegal immigrants. They're packed with non-U.S. citizens. It's an absolute different culture. In a lot of ways, it's a cesspool. We get all kinds in these heavy metropolitan areas. When you get out to the Midwest and the rural America, you start getting working folk. You start getting people that listen to country music and love God and love, you know, they love America. They love the USA. You start to get a different hand, you know, on the whole system. Those are the people that own America, not the immigrants that poured in here. I mean, you want to know why people are pouring in this nation? It's pretty simple. They say, oh, it's because the jobs, and, you know, we got to let them in because they're going to do all these jobs no one else is going to do. It isn't the jobs. It's welfare. These people get everything. You come to America, illegal immigrant, you get free housing. You get food stamps. You get free schooling. You get free health care. I mean, goodness, criminy, folks. People don't even realize that this is really the case. That's what it is. For goodness sakes, we've got arguments over whether an illegal immigrant should get a government-funded abortion. I mean, are we sick? You know, and I'll take it all the way back. I started the show, I started talking about environmentalism, and I didn't really get back to it, okay? The left is supposedly concerned with the environment, but they don't care about the life of a baby. They fight to murder a baby, and they fight to save an owl while literally costing, you know, tens of thousands of people their livelihood. Does that make sense to you? No, it's insane. It's absolute insanity. And that is what's going on in this country. Now, you turn on this show regularly and you hear me, and I rant about this stuff a little bit day in and day out. I'm very sickened by it. I'm very worried by it. I'm legitimately concerned about what's going on, the welfare of America. Okay? I fundamentally disagreed with Obama distinctively, you know, undeniably, right? But let me tell you something. If I got invited to the White House, I'd be honored. If I met Obama on vacation and could meet with him and talk to him, I'd be honored. Why? Because he was the president of the United States. I still respect the position. They have such a vehement hatred for Donald Trump that it's insurmountable. It's so unbelievable. It's insatiable. They literally will refuse invitations to the White House to get their, you know, their little attention wagon going so that they can get people to say, wow, what a martyr you are. What a great, you know, warrior for justice. They've got all this garbage. They had the Golden Globes last night and some gal used the term transgender parity, or, you know, she wants equality among transgender, you know, I don't even know what that means, right? What's important to her is that we have transgender parity so that people that say that are men that say they're women, which is usually the case, is demented men, that they have every equal acceptance in society as somebody who chose to remain with the DNA God gave them. If somebody's born a man and they think they're a woman and they're that twisted, there's one of two things going on. There's either a biologically physiological issue with either the physiology and anatomy of their body and their hormonal levels, which a lot of that can be treated with modern medicine, or they have a mental illness. And this is really what it was always considered. Up until the 70s, homosexuality was considered a deviant sexual behavior. It was considered a mental illness. And then a flaming homosexual became the president of the American Psychiatric Association or Society, and he changed the rules. He changed the definitions and said, no, it's not a psychiatric issue. That man was responsible for the write-ups on sexuality in Encyclopedia Britannica, which I believe beginning in about 74 began to discuss homosexuality as a completely normal behavior. I kind of recall this because as a young lad in elementary school, I read my Encyclopedia Britannica's front to back. My parents had a set of them. I loved them. I read the things front to back. And that's what we used to do back then, folks. We used to read. We didn't just bury ourselves in an iPhone that thinks for us. We, under Truman, we're losing the propaganda game in the Cold War, and we began to learn propaganda from them. There's black propaganda, gray, and white. Okay, white is where you tell complete and total truths, but you don't give the counterpoint. You don't give the opposing views, which can be extremely deceptive. Gray is a mixture of truth with no counterpoint, and twisted facts and added fiction. This is what we see mostly in the media today. Black is just outright lies. That's what the CIA perfected. We live in a society now that is infiltrated with black propaganda. The socialists invented propaganda. Joseph Goebbels under Adolf Hitler, Nazi Germany, tell a lie long enough and the people will believe it. The bigger the lie, the easier they'll believe. Propaganda. Okay, we actually taught him. We created that narrative. Believe it or not, America did it. Our CIA perfected it quickly. And we don't realize it, but we've advanced these causes so drastically in this nation, in this nation, that we're paying the price now. Then you get Donald Trump in office, and you have media that literally doesn't mind. They have absolutely no qualms about lying, as Trump calls it, fake news. No problem. None whatsoever. Just bald-faced, blatant lies. No problem. Doesn't faze them a bit. You know, they think that they're doing the just cause. And as I've said for far too long, the difference between the left and right, in my opinion, and this is sad because you're listening to a Christian show and I'm spewing politics. But to me, people say, what's your show about? I say it's called True Wealth. I said it started many years ago about money and finance. But now I talk about politics and religion and economic-based information. And they say, well, that's kind of weird. And I said, no, it's not. Because once Obama got into office, and technically a little bit under Bush, too, because we had 9/11. But Obama really put us in a position where politics, economics, and religion became intertwined. They became symbiotic. They became one. Okay? You can't have one without the other. When you have a president who you could argue was Muslim easily. Now, what do I mean by that? Okay? You ever heard the saying, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Think about that a minute. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's a good question. Well, if Obama was put on trial for being Muslim, I could present a very strong case with evidence to convict him based on statements made, actions taken, countries favored, rulers favored. You get into the financial wherewithal of the Democratic Party. When he won, he had over $500 million donated from a solicitation facility in Gaza. Okay, I mean, think about that for a minute. And then, of course, they broke the rules of, reporting, but it was an accident because the system wasn't working right. And, it's always something with them that they seem to get away with. And I could really go off on that, but I won't. And I probably will, but I that's not my intention. But the fact of the matter is it's just they get away with everything. I mean, the email scandal of Hillary's deleting 33,000 emails after they are subpoenaed. I mean, that's serious stuff, folks. You know, if police, I'll tell you this, if the FBI, okay, there was the brothers that did the Boston bombing, I want to say Yarnev or something like that. So they interviewed some of their friends, and their friends apparently had some emails that were not the best between them. And the FBI said, you can't destroy any of your emails or anything. So they went home and deleted a few emails. One guy in particular deleted 4 emails, okay? He got a year in jail for destroying 4 emails that the FBI just verbally said no, okay? Hillary Clinton received a written subpoena from the United States Congress to submit all of her emails on her private server, which was built and maintained outside of all government control. And she's okay. Or the guy, that 22-year-old Navy veteran who was in a submarine and he took 3 or 4 pictures of the inside of the submarine. realized he had him on his phone after he got out and turned himself in. He got a year, lost his pension, lost his rank, was dishonorably discharged, right? Another guy who had a laptop that had top secret information with the Navy, left the military, got out, went and got a new computer, had the information transferred over, realized when it was transferring that he had top secret information still on his laptop he'd forgotten about. He went, he turned himself in. He said, hey, I made a mistake. This is still on my laptop. I want to let you guys know and help, and so you can cleanse it. Nope. Charged, convicted, went to jail 23 months. Okay. And then Hillary can destroy 33,000 emails that we know of. And now that we know all of the rubbish that she was up to, folks, we've got corruption in our government deep. We've got the FBI covering for these people. We've got the FBI literally trying to sway elections. Folks, if you don't think Trump was supposed to win, the system was against him in a way like no other before. He was, you know, everyone hates, oh, I hate his tweets. I hate how he Twitters. If it wasn't for Twitter, folks, he wouldn't even be there today. You can be assured of that. So his tweets may annoy you and they may be frustrating, but without them, he would have never gotten access to you. There is the longest list of the mistakes made by the media that they've had to either apologize for or refuse to acknowledge, but absolute mistakes, if you want to call them that, intentional lies, fake news, that if it wasn't for his tweets going straight to, you know, now I guess he's got like 150 million followers. If it wasn't for his tweets, he would never have gotten into office. So, you know, catch 22. Again, I believe there's absolute providential involvement in this. I find it ironic that he's pure. They've tried and tried and tried to stick anything to him because they cannot accept the fact that you and I, the American people, elected him to serve us as president. Now, some people say Trump didn't win, Hillary lost. It doesn't matter. The Democrats put her up. And it is what it is. And I talked briefly earlier about my nephew studying renewable resources. And, you know, the plastics, folks, I mean, I'll give you a quick thing when I'm talking about our care for this planet as believers. Plastics are terrible. They're the most environmentally hideous product in existence. We continue to trash this planet with plastic that will not biodegrade. It serves a great purpose. That's why they continue to make it. And when they recycle it, it's not even the same because there's so many different kinds of plastics that have different applications. They can't just melt it all together and make a new plastic. If they melt it all together, all they get is a really hard plastic they could make certain things out of, sure. And they probably should. They should probably be using them for car parts or whatever, you know, cowlings and spoilers and skid plates and, you know, whatever, maybe coolers or, you know, I don't know. I'm not in the business, but, I'm telling you, I'm bothered by plastics. Now think of this, folks. There's a place in the oceans where the ocean currents merge. They say it's overall the size of Texas, but the actual concentration of it is hundreds of miles long and hundreds of miles wide of an absolute pile of trash in the middle of the ocean. It literally kills entire schools of dolphins. It kills whales. It kills fish. It kills birds. It just sits there and it doesn't go away. It doesn't rot. It doesn't fail. Short of a catastrophic flood, Noah style, it's not going away. We as environmentalists, as believers who care about the domain that the master left us with, we need to care for this stuff. We absolutely need to care. We really need to care. I believe that. And you know, whatever you can do about that, it bothers me. I don't know how long God's going to leave us on this earth. We just aren't sure. But I'll tell you, we're escalating towards an interesting time. The time, as Daniel said, when people shall travel to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. People travel to and fro like crazy now, folks, all over the world, and knowledge, it is increasing. It used to be that people would have to hop on a ship to cross the ocean for weeks. Now, you cross the ocean in an aircraft in hours. Everyone flies. It's ironic. It's quite interesting. The cost of living has gone up, and wages have not. What Trump did is brilliant with his tax cuts. Now, there are certain people that benefit more than others. I may not be one of them. But if he's putting money back in the hands of working folk and, I guess, the big corps to provide jobs, more power to him. These corporations have been squeezed by taxation so excessively that they hurt the people. As soon as they're getting these tax cuts, before they've even realized them, they're increasing people's profit sharing drastically. they're basically expanding operations, and they haven't even seen the money yet. And that, to me, is important. Now, with the rest of the show, I mean, I'll bounce off a couple other things. I'm always short on time. Just, you know, along the political lines again, but I think it's relevant. In the last week, there's a book that came out, Fire and Fury, by this Mike Wolf or something. Claims our president's insane, and he's got all these anonymous quotes. And, you know, folks, this stuff is blasphemous. It really is sad, I guess, to see, you know, the Bible has verses on respecting our rulers. And I think that we have just taken this to such an egregious level. I'll be candid. It's very concerning to me. I just don't think it's right. I think you can disagree in this nation. You're supposed to. Hebrews 13 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. The thing about that is, folks, that can be taken a little bit strong. The level of submit. But what's important is that scripture doesn't just refer to our rulers, our government leaders. It applies to those we work for, okay? And the word leaders in Greek is, it's hagiomi, which I'm not very good at my Greek. It's those who are above you. It's that simple. Those that rule and command over you or have authority over you. So it's basically saying if you work for a ruler, if you work for a boss, if wherever you are, give people authority. Give them authority. Don't fight to take it back. If you do work volunteer at the church and someone's in charge, give them authority. Just give it to them. Don't fight it. That's what the Bible tells us. That's how the system works very smoothly, very comfortably, very joyfully. It's the way we're supposed to be. So when you get a new president, I had this epiphany when Obama got in, I made him my president for a while. That lasted a while, and then I changed my mind. He was always the president. He just wasn't always my president. But anyway, so they're trying to say Trump's insane. I think it's pretty clear that's not the case. He hasn't changed a bit. I'm going to be, you know, Trump right now, the economy is doing, the numbers are good, okay? the Dow is roaring and there's new construction starts. People say the economy is booming. However, I've spoken with people in different industries lately that aren't always doing as well as they should be based on these numbers. However, at least there is some, you know, some prosperity in different sectors and areas. The biggest thing that's a little bit of a stumper, the roaring speculative explosion in the stock market is concerning to me. I'm not going to deny that it's awesome and amazing. I've had people literally call me, folks, people, we tend to want to jump in at the end of everything. Don't do it. It'll blow. I'm telling you, it's going to blow, but I can't say when. All right. Will it go to 30,000? Sure. Maybe. I mean, not sure, but maybe, right? So let's say the Dow's at 25 and it goes to 30. That would be a 20% increase in the Dow. Because of the removal and replacement of stock and the use of a weighted moving average, that would mean that if you personally owned all those 30 stocks and it went up 20%, you would probably gain about 11 or 12. You're like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Yes, it does. Because it's not a true one-for-one ratio of activity. There's a lot of manipulation. Just remember, folks, liars figure and figures lie. You can do magic things with numbers, especially when the government controls them. But the fact of the matter is, so say you'd have an 11 or 12% upside. Okay, let's just say that. 11 or 12% upside. But realistically, every time the Dow crashes, it goes back to 7. No matter where it went. When it went to 9, it went to, back down to 7. When it went to 11, it went to 7. When it went to 12, it went back to 7. When it went to 14, it went back to 7. Went to 16 and back to 7. Went to 18 and back to 7. Went all the way to almost 20,000 and back to 7. Don't ask me why. It is what it is. Maybe that's the real deal. Don't know. We're at 25. What if it goes back to 7? Okay? You have a massive downside risk. You have to ask yourself, what's more likely? The Dow goes down or the Dow goes up? What's more likely in an amplified level? What will it do the most of over the next year, down or up? It can't go up forever. I will admit to you that a lot of this growth, I consider the byproduct of severe hyperinflation. So much currency was created, we're now seeing a realization of it. The problem is when you go to buy a stock, you get your Apple stock, your Google stock, your whatever, there's no guarantee these companies are going to perform at these levels. So if you're not already in, if you already got a 401k or IRA and you're doing good on that, great, okay? But at some point, you've got to have an exit strategy. If you're doing well, you've got to be, you know, you got to take advantage of it. I want you to think about just the opposite right now, okay? When gold, when silver was clicking up to 50 bucks a troy, people wanted in, you know, and the upside was strong. But it doesn't go forever. So now stocks are up. But remember, those that are participating in this have probably sat on stocks for 10 years. They've taken an absolute walloping, a whooping, a beating, tremendous beating, and they had to wait. You want to buy when things are cheap. In order to capitalize on this recent stock run, you should have bought when it was down, okay? Metals and coins are priced incredibly well. You can do, we do 401ks and IRAs all the time, all the time, all the time. You have a 401k or IRA, we transfer it over into a trust. It remains under a tax sheltered umbrella, okay? We do it all the time. People don't understand that. It's simple. You fill, we get you set up with an account. You transfer everything over or don't. You do whatever you want. You open an account, there it lies. Now you have another independent, self-directed IRA, tax sheltered. You can transfer $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, $100,000, doesn't matter. You can move it into a money market in our account, our trust. And there it lies. We can, then we can pick specific metals, store them in a depository. There they lie. You have an absolute precious metals-backed IRA. It remains under the specific tax-sheltered umbrella of the others of your prior. Okay. That's a great way to go. We do it all the time. To keep it simple, we have precious metals based IRAs available. So if you want one, give us a call, 444-0044, toll free 877-TAP-COIN. If you're concerned about it, you can call and talk to me and I'll try to help you. I'll give you my opinions. I'm relatively knowledgeable on things like that and I'd be happy to talk to you. Folks, do not get an annuity. Do not buy annuities. They are a rip-off. I don't care what they tell you. I don't care what they say. Because what they say and what goes in writing that you sign for do not have to be in agreement. They're not regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. They're insurance salesmen. They can tell you whatever they want. And then when you sign, it's a different deal. And their documents are unbelievably confusing. I'm extremely knowledgeable in legal documents, and theirs are terrible. Okay? You'll never get your money back out. You'll never get all your money back out of an annuity. They clock you. They rob you. The commission to the salesman is massive. And we can get into that in more depth another day. Just do not buy an annuity. If you've got an annuity, get out. You're never going to get your money back. It's rotten. What you can get out now is all you're ever going to get out. Do not ever let them annuitize you. I'll leave it at that for the day. But basically, folks, portfolios, savings, this is our specialty. We're good at it. We'll help you build a great portfolio. Give Coins Plus a call. Let us help square you away. The pricing on stuff right now is just tremendous. We do a lot with Morgans and gold and silver, and we've just got a nice balanced approach. So thanks again for tuning in. Again, Happy New Year. We're welcome to the new year. I hope you're doing good. If some people want to cash out their IRAs now, good time. No taxes for 16 months, and Trump cut that in half. So again, give us a call if you want to discuss it. Take care. God bless. Have a wonderful evening, and we'll be back Wednesday. Bye-bye.